Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. On today's episode of the Christian Youth Camp Podcast, we have Jackson Thacker, who has been coming here since he was a toddler, and he is now a resident in the Boys Village. Jackson will be sharing part of his testimony today, which is a witness to the radical conversion that Christ can bring. Camp has taught him about discipling and being discipled. Our most precious commodity is definitely time, so giving it to others is a remarkable service. I'm grateful to have Jackson as a friend, and I'm excited for y'all to hang out with us today. Today we have Jackson Thacker with us, and Jackson has been at camp for basically as long as he can remember. So what have you learned here that you've taken to your life outside of camp?
I've learned all kinds of things. Growing up here, I've spent just so much time, like childhood, like I learned about like making friends and what it took to be like a good friend to people growing up, and just like I learned a lot about, I think I got a lot of faith and a lot of, I grew up as like a really, like, I liked intellectually, like learning things, and like, I loved being in school and I loved like challenges, and my dad was like really adamant about challenging me with things. And so like growing up here, I think gave me like a basis of faith and like being able to like understand God a little better, and like a lot of confidence growing up and who like God was and stuff like that. And then as I got older, just so much more about relationship and like what it looked like to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And then seeing people, especially counselors, that really, really believed in God and trusted him and had like a legitimate faith, which is something that I feel like I hadn't seen a lot of, even though I knew people, like even family members and stuff that were like really in love with Jesus. I didn't feel like I'd experienced that firsthand so much until a lot of my counselors had done it. And I'd seen it in like college age people and like people that weren't really supposed to be doing it.
Yes.
I was like, when I saw a counselor like invite me into the college ministry after I graduated high school, like that was like a different level of, like, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. These people like outside of summer. Yeah. So you mentioned being a good friend, and I know we've had a lot of girls come on the podcast and talk about what friendship looks like, but I know for a guy, sometimes like those real conversations can be more challenging. So what like is a good friend to you?
I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think of good friends is, well, I think of some people think come to mind first, but when traits, I think of like, I think of commitment. Someone that I know is, dependable.
Yeah.
But I also think of someone that's, motivates and pushes you to be better. Like I think that's the difference between someone that's like a friend and someone that's a great friend or a best friend.
Yeah.
To me would be like my best friends are going to push me to be better.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest things that I've found friendship in a lot of times is like humor and just someone that I legitimately enjoy being around and makes me happy.
Yeah. I love watching all the guys here be friends because y'all do sharpen each other in such a personal way. And like keep each other accountable, but also are just the funniest people I've ever met. So it's just a really beautiful harmony that works out.
I think a lot of people here know like the, I think most of the guy counselors here have always had a good mix of like knowing when it's okay to be funny and like goof around, which is like most of the day, and having that. And then also like being able to be serious and like switch it on and like have real conversations, and like no one's scared of like that intimacy.
Yes.
But even though we probably take it a little overboard with the thing around most of the time, and sometimes probably ruin some deep moments, I think we do a pretty good job of,
I think overall you'll get an A. Yeah. So I know going through like middle and high school, you did not necessarily love the Lord, like weren't really pursuing him or things of him. What kept you coming back to camp even when you really didn't care that much about faith?
In middle school and like early high school, I was, I don't know if I would say I had like a strong relationship with Jesus, but I was very much doing good in terms of like in a legalistic way. Yeah. I was doing good. And I was like super involved in church, and me and my youth minister were really close, and he was doing a lot of good things in me mm-hmm. that helped me out later. But so I came back because I had a ton of friends that went here. I was super involved in church. My family made me probably. Yeah. Junior and senior year of high school, I probably just got forced to come. I don't know if they would have had to, like, I was also still pretending to be a good Christian. So I probably, like, told them I wanted to go, even if I didn't. Yeah. But I still had a lot of good friends here. And a lot of kids that were coming out to camp were in the same boat I was in. So we all kind of were in it together.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, it's just 1 week. Like, we can go have fun, hang out, and it won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah. That's what's cool is the people keep people coming back. Even when we're not necessarily like going for the right reasons and like for a relationship with God. And I know you shared your testimony with me and I don't know how much like you want to hit on, but just kind of like what that one friend did for you, like consistently praying for you and the power of that.
So I guess I kind of can start with talking like to tie camp into it.
Yeah.
Cause he only came to camp my junior year, actually. He didn't come senior year. But senior year, I'd say like a seed started to be planted for me at Chioka. And I came back and I was hanging out with friends and whatnot. And I had a counselor, well, more than one, but yeah. Matthew Thornhill was from here. And he was super involved in a college ministry at ULM, which is where I was going the next year. And so he kind of started to like, he wanted me to come back out to work as a junior counselor. And he was like, made sure to like keep up with me after being my counselor and wanted me to come get involved in his college ministry and like actually be friends with me in college. And like, he wanted to be a person that was there for me. And I was like, yeah, like I really like this guy. He's super cool. I don't know about the Christian part and the college ministry
part. But I'm okay with him being in my life.
Yeah, but like, but I'll be friends with this guy.
Yes.
So I stayed in touch, that kind of thing. And then eventually one of my best friends, Rupert Lang, I went on a senior trip with some other friends, and some people that I really didn't know super well. It was just participating in all kinds of things I shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
And I found myself one day hearing someone, tell their dad that they weren't a Christian anymore. And they were like telling them, and I heard them say it. And I remember like laughing out loud. Like I audibly laughed at the thought because I was like, dude, everyone knows you're not a Christian. Like, come on. Like, look at the things you do.
Yeah.
Like, look at how you live. We all know you're not a Christian. I was like, your dad knew. We all knew. No one was questioning it. That was literally what I was thinking. And I literally just started laughing on the beach.
Wow.
I was laughing so hard because I thought it was so funny. And then I like went to pick up this tent and I just instantly realized that is exactly what everyone would say about me.
Yeah.
And I was still claiming to be a Christian, whether I believed it or not. And I'd chosen not to live that way, but I hadn't really decided that I didn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of sat down and I was like having this introspective moment in the middle of my senior trip where everything's supposed to be fun and crazy.
Yeah.
And like everyone around me is just partying it up and like, they're all going nuts. And like, I was sitting there like, man, am I a Christian?
Yeah.
And I was like, and if I am, like, do I need to stop doing this? What does that even mean?
What does that mean in my life?
I had no idea. I really didn't know. I was like, I knew there was two things that I was going to stop doing. And I knew that.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things I was doing terribly wrong that I didn't stop because I literally didn't know if they were bad things. I was just unsure. And so I spent the next 3 or 4 days of senior trip. Just like everyone was super confused. I didn't tell anyone that I had this change of heart. Or I was thinking about anything. I just stopped partying, basically.
Yeah.
And they were all super confused. One of my best friends in high school was so mad at me because he just felt like I was like being a bad friend because I was anyway. But I was just in this weird place. And then afterward, I had really two people that I talked to first, and one of them was my counselor here, Matthew Thornhill, and one of them, or actually three people, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
One was Austin, who's a counselor out here and has been for, I guess this is year
also
four.
Our gym resident.
And he's our gym resident right now. And one of my best friends that I met my senior year, we were in a cabin together.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good Christian guy, who actually had just been hanging out with us all week. And he just thought that, he thought that when we were talking about the parties and stuff, that we were sharing our testimonies with him, when in reality, it was just our current life.
Yeah.
So he was under the impression that we were all sharing our testimonies and was severely confused when I went on to tell him later that I had become a Christian that summer. And he was like, wait, you're not already?
I've never let his friend, yes.
So that was interesting. But he's one of the first people I told. My counselor, Matthew Thornhill, and I had a really deep conversation at the college ministry on ULM campus. I went and met him there, and some of his friends that I didn't know yet that have come to be some of the most impactful people in my life to this day. And I sat with him and Caleb Drake, and I was really asking him, what do I do? I was like, all right, so I think I decided, like, I got to be a Christian because I believe in God. So that means I have to change some things.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what things do I need to change? And I was like, this is what I'm doing. And he was like, ooh, well, a lot of them. And I was like, can I be friends with these people? He was like, yes, it's going to look different. And I was like, okay. So we kind of talked through that. I walked through it. And I had one really consistent, or two really consistent best friends in high school that were great Christian people. And one of them was Rupert. And I went and sat down with him at a restaurant and talked about it. And this is like one of the most meaningful things that's ever been said to me. Is that conversation. But we sat down, and he is someone that was always by my side throughout high school, throughout my whole journey of faith. And he had been like a rock for me. And he was like, he was adamant about being friends with me, but he wasn't going to meet me. He's meeting me where I was, but not in my like comfort zone, I guess. He wasn't willing to like, meet me at a party.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to meet me in my situation. He was going to bring me into his,
yeah,
in the sense of like, invite me to church, invite me to hang out at his house, or go, yeah, to a friend's house, or drive. We would go to like do astrophotography. And it's like all kinds of things that he was comfortable doing, he would do with me. And he was always inviting me to hang out. Like, we would hang out all the time because he was making sure that we were doing things that he felt like were okay with.
Yeah, and life-giving.
The life he was trying to lead.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't committed to that life. And so we sat down to talk, and he just said, like, I told him what happened, and he just, like, his jaw dropped. And he was like, that's crazy. I've been praying that you would turn your life around for months.
Yeah.
He was like, and for the 2 weeks leading up to your senior trip, I prayed every day, multiple times a day, specifically that you would change your life while on that trip. Like, that during that trip, God would like shatter your heart, basically.
Literally just sitting on the beach.
And turn me around.
Yeah.
And like, he, I don't know, just the power of prayer.
Yeah.
Like, I think it made my decision so much easier. And like, I feel like I learned a lot about God in that moment. And I learned a lot about, like, I don't know, my confidence in faith and my, I don't know. I just learned so much right there. Like, so like simple, a couple sentences. And like, I feel like my whole life like turned on a dime, like,
yes,
right there.
That is the power of praying for someone. I wish I would have brought my Bible in here, because I literally wrote it this morning. I was like reading a book. And it was about, I think it's like James 2:5, where it's talking about like faith that action is dead. Because they're talking about, okay, the action of bringing someone to Christ is only as possible as it is of like how much time you spend on your knees praying before. Because like, it was all through God, like, we're able to do anything. So just the fact that he just kept praying for you was like the most important part that then led into all those other things, which is so important.
It was, I think it was surreal to hear someone like,
yeah,
care about you that much too. Like, I think even if I wasn't a Christian and he told me that, I think it would have meant a ton. And I think, I don't know. I hope one day, cause I'm not there yet. I hope one day I can be that person for other people.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that I care enough about the people around me and the people that I claim to care about that aren't loving Jesus,
mm-hmm,
to sit down and pray for them every day.
Yeah. That's the best thing we can do. So going like from what your counselors did for you there and like what Rupert and like all your friends just kind of surrounded you and like covered you in prayer that led to this transformation, led into like you continually being discipled, and now that you're a counselor, like you disciple other campers. So what does discipleship mean to you? And just like the model for that.
Try to disciple
campers. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of camp, it's meant a ton. I've found, if all of my mentors aren't, I didn't find them at camp, they have been out at camp.
Yeah.
And like mentorship has played a really, really big role in who I am today and like how I view God and how I view family and relationships, like having mentors that have families and seeing like what I want my family to be like one day. And just so many aspects of my life have been shaped by mentors. And so I think that camp kind of gave me, taught me about the importance of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave me some insight into how I could do that for kids.
Yeah.
Obviously a little different. I don't have a family. I'm not going to teach kids about a family. But I can teach kids about how to live a life following Christ and how to do that in college and how to do that through high school. Because I know about high school. I might not have done it.
Yeah.
But I know about high school and I know about Christian life. And so I think, I don't know. I think one of the biggest things I've learned after becoming, I guess, like, what would you call someone who's being discipled? After being discipled.
Yeah.
And then going to, now my role at camp is to disciple.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing I've learned is how difficult it can be to actually commit to that role.
Yes.
Because if you're going to come out and be a camp counselor, like, it's a fun summer. It really is. Like, it's so much fun. And you get to meet great people and make great friends, and relationships will last forever, even with campers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also going to be relationships you make that are hard because kids are going through really tough stuff and they're really struggling with their faith. And there are going to be campers that you don't necessarily get along with as well, because that's just how people are.
Yeah.
But when you take on that role to like be a counselor and be there for them, and like, I think you're taking on a really big responsibility that lasts much longer than a summer if you're doing it right. Cause I mean, there are kids that like I talk to every day, every week,
mm-hmm.
and like for hours, and I love those kids and I pray for them and but like, it's a big time commitment.
Yeah. Like, we want that to happen, but it is sacrifice.
Yeah. Cause like, as much as I do want to talk to them, it's like when they're not physically around you, which almost none of your campers are going to be, you're not going to be close to them in a physical sense. Like, you're going to be, it's a lot of time to give up for people that are not immediately around you.
Yeah.
Especially when we're so like, I don't know. I think when FOMO is such a big thing,
yes.
and like, I want to be around my friends and I want to hang out, like, to have to say, oh no, I can't do that. I have to like talk to a kid for the next 2.5 hours. Like, that's probably not what I'm going to say, but you know what I mean? That's what gets in my head. And so sometimes, I don't know. I think I didn't realize, and I think I didn't even do that in my first 2 years as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my first 2 summers out here, I didn't do that.
Yeah. They're your kids for the summer.
They're my kids for the summer. And then, as much as I loved them, like, I talked to them every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, they might DM me or I might comment on a picture.
Yeah.
Or text every so often. But I realized, I think after my third summer, it was actually after my second summer, a kid had called me about his parents who were going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized like how much bigger my role was than I had ever thought it was before. Cause like I was the person that kid wanted to turn to.
Yeah.
I'd only known him for a week, but like in his life, like, I was the spiritual person he had to lean on that wasn't his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't talk to them about that. And so I think if you're going to come into that role, you have to realize that like your time is not as valuable as like God's time.
Yeah.
And you can't view your time as more valuable than that kid's time. You just have to be able to give that stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is a year round thing, and it can be so overwhelming, like trying to keep up with so many people, but also trusting that like they'll remember us and like God's going to put them on our heart. And literally, like, just before this, I was texting one of my campers, who I really haven't talked to since last summer, But she literally just said, like, I promise if I ever need anything, I'll call you. And, like, that meant the world to me to know that she knows that they have us is so important. And then on the flip side, like, being discipled, what are things you have to remember, like, when accepting correction and, like, seeking out counsel to people wiser than you? Like, do you actively seek that or do you kind of resent it sometimes?
I think most of the time I actively seek it because I'm a pretty, like, I like to know things. Yeah. And I don't. You know, I like to have the right answer regardless of where it comes from.
Yeah.
And a lot of, but I also assume most people are wrong. So like I have a weird, I'm constantly like
you're
seeking
skeptic,
out
smart.
Truth stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like correction. Yeah. I think a lot of times for me, it's a seeking out and I have people that I trust that I can go get that information from. And like, I think the way that I view it is that if they are seeking the truth too, then I trust them to like help me seek.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's people that I really believe are like, I think they're a little bit skeptical. That's the people that I tend to lean on. Like those are the mentors I find and seek.
Cause you know, they've looked into it.
Yeah. Cause I know they've really done their digging. Like if they're going to give me an answer, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
They're not just going to say something and they're not going to say what they got taught or what they believe. They're going to say something that like they can back up.
Yeah.
Cause they know that I'll ask hard questions about it. Like if I ask advice and they give it to me, I'll probably say, well, why is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this? That's something I've also learned is that when I seek out those people, they are the type of people that like don't deal with me like being inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like they are going to call me out. Like they'll text me and they will like I think about Spencer Carroll.
Yes.
And he,
we love Spencer.
He'll like, I mean, he'll text me and say, and like, if I tell him something's going on, he just knows that like, it's not true.
Yeah.
If I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing good. Like this and this and this, I've been doing this. And he's like, you need to read your Bible more. Like, he's like, have you been doing this? I'm like, no. He's like, okay, well, here's what you're going to do. You know, it's
like, we want mentors to call us out, like be straightforward with that. I'm like, that's you.
So he's like so, so good about maintaining relationships and making sure to stay in contact. And I'm not great about that, but I don't know. I think when I've had such good mentors in my life that it's almost hard for me to say what I could do better as someone being discipled.
Yeah.
I think they've all been, the way they handle correction is so loving that like I haven't had trouble with handling that.
Yeah.
And sometimes my pride gets in the way a little bit, but they've been like so consistent in my life and they're over such long periods of time that I don't think that my pride has ever stopped like that relationship or like when they make a correction, even if my pride gets in the way for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that week passed, I'm like, okay,
yes,
you're right.
I always get super defensive when they first tell me something, and I'm like, I just can't unpack this all today. But the more I think about it and like take it to prayer, I'm like, oh, okay, they're probably right.
Yeah.
But me like mentored well and being discipled well only makes me want to go out and like love others more and like offer that same thing, even if it is overwhelming. Of like, how do I offer this to somebody else?
I think like having mentors has been that good and seeing it, it's like, I don't know if I can commit to doing that. Like, I don't think I can be a mentor for someone. Like I will be a bad one. I will be a bad mentor compared to them. But they have taught me so much about correcting people in a loving way
because
I'm so bad about it. Like, I mean, geez, you can ask my best friends. Like I'm like, I'm a harsh communicator and like,
funny.
I am generally blunt.
Yeah.
And like, because I'm okay with people being that way with me.
Yeah,
so I just assume everyone else is okay with it.
That will respond to that one.
So a lot of times I'm really bad at that. So I think I just need people, I've learned from them that you have to communicate differently to different people and like, what that looks like. And still learning a lot. Being camp counselors helped a ton. You see so many different types of kids come through.
Yes.
With so many different backgrounds and so many different just viewpoints of the world in general that and how they take criticism and how they take like love and how they show love. Definitely a diverse there's a diverse culture here, like
yes, And that's when it's cool to, like, love kids that are loved well in different ways, like, stretches us. And you look at how Jesus interacted with all of his disciples, and it was all different because their prides were all different and, like, their insecurities were all different. So you had to, like, love them in different ways, which we're invited to do the same. And then one other thing I wanted to hit on is just, like, adoption and what that means to you and Jansen, which is, like, a whole other story. But just kind of, like, how you view God differently through that.
Man, I think – so a lot of the time – and a lot of people will, like, laugh at me and Jansen, and, like, it's kind of, like, a joke in a sense to some people. Like, I have adopted friends that were adopted, yeah, like, at birth. And there's – I mean, there's adopted counselors out here.
Yeah.
And – like, to, like, a lot of my adopted friends will say that, like, I'm, like, half adopted, and, like, it doesn't count or something like, yeah, that, because it's, like, my grandparents. But I do think it, like, growing up being from, like, I guess 11 to now, it's past 11 years of living adopted and being, like, realizing what that meant, even though they are family.
Mm-hmm.
That they, like, took me in and took Jansen in and really parented us.
Yeah.
Has taught me a lot about, like, the level of acceptance we have with God and, like, the level of love, and that they have treated me and Jansen no differently than any, than they did our dad or, mm-hmm, our uncle. And they've, like, truly treated us like children. Like,
yeah.
I think it added to my perspective of God. I think it's still a little different than people who were adopted at birth and, like, to completely different families, and, yeah, realizing that, like, they're still so loved by those families, and, like, that's a portrayal of God's love for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have, like, a little bit less of that perspective than they do.
Yeah.
But I still think that getting adopted gave me part of that viewpoint of just realizing, like, man, like, as God's adopted children, we are so loved, and, like, He wants us to come and be a part of His family.
Yeah.
And, like, take part in communion with Him for forever. And how meaningful, like, that term adoption is. Like, to be adopted into God's family is, like, powerful. And I think, like, it's not second rate. We're not, like, below Jesus in the sense of, like, where we are in God's family.
Yeah.
Like, we are on par with Him in terms of, like, how much God loves us.
That's, I think, incredible.
Yeah, it's, like, a really beautiful thing that I think I got a little better understanding of when I got adopted, but I don't really know how to explain it. I just know that it feels a little bit different when I hear the words, I think, than it did before.
I love that. And then the last two questions. First one is, what would you tell yourself before coming to camp, like, as a high schooler, when maybe your heart was a little hard? Like, what would you want to go back and tell yourself?
Oh, man. I don't know if anything would have helped me. So coming in like that, I just think, I don't think there's anything that, like, I don't think there's any instruction I could have given myself, yeah, or any word that would have changed my heart in that moment. Like, I think,
which is, man, beautiful.
I think that the best thing you could do is tell someone, like, you could have told my counselors, like, yeah, hey, love that kid. Like, and they did. And I think that had a much bigger impact than anything I could have, like, I don't think there's anything I could have said to myself back then.
Yeah. And, like, it wasn't your time yet, which is beautiful because, like, God knew. But also, like, you were still at camp, even if it wasn't for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
And then.
You definitely use camp to work.
Yes.
For sure.
And then a couple months from now, when you're not, like, living with all your best friends again and you miss this place and you're back at school, like, what do you want to remind yourself of in the spiritual place that you're at now?
Ooh. Man. Well, sometimes I actually find myself in really hard spiritual places at camp, yeah, especially when there's no campers here.
Yeah.
Because campers can bring, like, a certain amount of distraction and, mm-hmm, like, you can, like, almost get lost in where you're at with your personal walk with God because you're so caught up in all of your campers' walks, yes, with God. But I think right now, like, this time we're all together and just counselors has been, like, pretty challenging for me. So I don't know if I would necessarily say that I'm, like, on a spiritual high, mm-hmm, going back to school. I hope that one thing that I want to look back and remember is how valuable these friendships have been to me in my walk, and try to make sure that I have relationships like that at school, and that I'm not maintaining like bad or unhealthy relationships. Yeah. I think that's like the biggest thing that I need to remember leaving here every summer is that, okay, just because I like was doing great all summer and like grew so close to God and like had all these like tough thoughts and conversations, I was working through so much stuff, and then go to school and kind of like forget about it and you get numb and then you coast and then you have, cause you don't have the same people around you pushing you. I think remembering that like, I need to make sure that my relationships at school are deep and rooted in Christ and that I'm having tough conversations and,
yeah. And like, that's not even just for you, but that's to benefit those friends. Cause you could easily say like, I have my friends at camp and I FaceTime them a lot. So like that bucket's filled for me, but like your friends at school need that too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I found myself surrounding myself with groups of people a lot of the time, not all the time, but definitely like a lot of the time that are not pushing me to be better. And then I'm not pushing you to be better. We're just all chilling.
Yeah.
And
as college students do.
I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from camp every summer is that I really need to go back and push my friends and have them push me and make sure that that's happening.
Yes. I love that so much. Can I pray for us?
Yes.
God, thank you so much that you're a good father. Thank you so much for radical transformation stories where your Holy Spirit comes in and changes our heart and opens our eyes, that we have the gift of faith, that we have the courage to believe. Thank you so much for Jackson's testimony, and thank you for all the campers and all the friends that have benefited from hearing it. And I just pray that it would continue to bless so many people, that their hearts would just be open in one moment to seeing you differently, Jesus, seeing that you're someone who changes the way we live and changes the way that we love. God, thank you so much for the gift of discipleship. Thank you for the way that you demonstrated it through Jesus and the way that he loved his friends. Lord, lead us all to good mentors who push us and encourage us and challenge us and sharpen us and lead us to be good mentors and good friends and good disciplers to those younger than us. Thank you for the wisdom that you have poured into our hearts, and we ask that it would just overflow and be an overflow of love into the life of our campers, that they could continue to learn from us. We pray over all of our campers that they remember that we are there for them year round. God, I pray that when hard things come, that they would think of one of their counselors and that they would have the courage to call us and just share what's on their hearts, because we want to love them. We want to be your hands and feet. God, thank you for the gift of adoption. Thank you that we are sons and daughters, that we are brothers and sisters alongside Jesus. That is so beautiful, and we'll never understand the magnitude of that. But Lord, I ask that you would lead us to a greater understanding of it so that we could live in our identity as beloved children all the days of our lives, and that that identity would liberate others into the same freedom. We love you, and it's in the name of your son we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real-life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka, and live knowing that you are loved.